Amen. Isn't she amazing? Amen. You may be seated this morning. Amen. We had Brother Jamil McLaren with us here a couple weeks ago in Idaho for youth camp. And he was on the platform and he said, you know, I've known Chatera in my youth and she was always such a classy lady. And I thought, classy lady? And she is a classy lady, amen. She is our music at the church, amen, when she feels well and when she doesn't feel well. She's also our Sunday school teacher when she feels well and doesn't feel well, amen. She is our outreach director when she feels well and doesn't feel well, amen. So I'm very, very thankful for her. I say that because here, maybe last week, she was not feeling good and wasn't going to sing, just couldn't have it, was fighting a sore throat, a bunch of other things. And I said, put me in, coach. I said, I know at least two songs I know all the words to. Just put me in. Put me in. And our backup piano players. I said, I can do it. I can make it through a song before Bible study. Amen. I'm very thankful for my wife. There would be no church in Wilder if it wasn't for my wife. Amen. I can 100% say that. Amen. When we left southern Indiana and moved up here, we were very broken, very broken. We had started a church, and it was war. It was war. And we both collectively said, you know what, I'm never going to do that again. Yeah, it's never going to happen again. And I remember vividly telling Brother Johnson, I said, I'm never going to pastor again. And he'd always come up to me and say, well, hey, next time you pastor, think about this, this, and this. And I said, well, that's not, and he goes, yeah, just think about it. Okay. And then when we moved to Idaho, my wife and I were talking. I said, man, the need here is so great. We should really, don't even say it. We should walk around, you know. Amen. And then the pressure came more and more. We felt the weight of the area that we were in. And I said, honey, we got to do something. And she wholeheartedly with us, and we felt a great burden for our city, and thus began the church in Wilder. Amen. We've been there now, I believe, on our third year pastoring the church. We're working on close to 5 years in Idaho. The time goes by so quickly. Amen. It goes by so quickly. Sister Mandy told me that it was Missions Sunday. Thank you for your presentation today. Amen. It's interesting. They have every year what's called the Apostolic Conference down in Mississippi. If you have never heard of it, the Dillons put on a great thing for our North American missionaries. They pay for everything for you to come down, stay in a hotel for a week and be fed and given the word. They pull out the red carpet treatment and just honor you for going. And I remember going there and I thought, this is weird. Walking on the carpet, and I said, honey, we're actually in a pretty good shape at the moment. I mean, we're not like exploding in growth or numbers or anything like that, but I said, we're doing pretty good. You start talking to some of these people, and it hit me. I said, are we going to be there in a year? And when you talk about North American missions, if you meet them and you get talking about them, pray for them because they are not okay. Amen. They go through a lot of struggles and a lot of trials, and they are trying desperately to cut in a work where there is no work. And the burden is overwhelming, the pressure is overwhelming, but in the end of the day, they are called to make a difference. And they're going to do everything inside of them to make a difference and to win their city. Amen. I have the privilege and honor of keeping in touch with several of them through Marco Polo, which is an app, a video app on your face or on your phone. And talking to them and the struggles and the fights there. And we lift each other up in prayer. And we appreciate this church so much. This church so much. We have a two-hour time change in Idaho. So in the mornings when I'm making breakfast, getting coffee, and trying to get the kids up and around, I have Elkhart Life on. Amen. So I get to hear my brother's jokes. Amen. And I amen. I get to catch Brother Isaac, and I get to catch Pastor, and I appreciate that. I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful for being home when we're away. Amen. And touching base and seeing, it's an honor to see these young people on the platform. I'll tell my wife, and she'll be getting ready, and I'll take the phone, and did you see so-and-so's up on the platform singing? Did you see so-and-so's in a new role and what they're doing? And it's amazing to see. It's absolutely, and I don't mean to embarrass him, so please don't take it this way. I mean this as a compliment, but I ran in. I said, when did Nate Huff start singing? I said, this is amazing. You know, and watching my nephew on the guitar, and I saw my niece the other day up here talking about Bible quizzing. Amen. It's amazing. I saw Oliver running around. Amen. We're thankful for people that invest in young people. Amen. And I say this, Brother Isaac mentioned that came in, was voted in as youth secretary, and all signs pointed that there was going to be a vote for a youth president. And I told my wife, I said, I'm not doing that. I got too much going on. I got too many things going on. And Brother Johnson came and stopped and stayed with us and talked with us for a while we were in town. And I mentioned to him, I said, yeah, you know, I really don't feel like this is a good time to let my name run. And his smile faded, and that face I had never want to see on him looked at me across the table and said, if your name comes up, you'll do it, because that's what we do. We serve. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. We had a very successful youth camp this year in Idaho, and I have accepted my fate. Amen. And I told my wife, I said, all right, I'm buying in. We're going in this full thing, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve Idaho in that capacity. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have those pictures, you want to throw up that first picture there. I'm going to testify for a little bit here, and then I have a message I feel like the Lord has put on my heart for today. Amen. That picture is actually, I'm going to brag here for a second, that is from my back window. Amen. So Wilder is in a valley. We are about 45 minutes from the capital, which is Boise. They say it Boise, not Boise, so make sure you say it right. Amen. But we're about 45 minutes there. We are in a valley. We grow everything that you could think of there, but that is my backyard, amen. In Idaho, when we came out there, the call was great because there was 12 United Pentecostal churches, 12. So like I said, we are coming up in our fifth year. There are about close to 24 churches now. It is a NAM focused district. The goal is to double, I think, by 2036, something along those lines. But those are cut out of the woodwork, cut out of the rock churches. Those are churches that they are trying to grow. They're desperate to grow, to win their city, and we have great obstacles that come up. You know, the housing market is crazy. It is even crazier in Idaho. The cost of living is very extravagant. Multi-families in a home is very common where we live. There is a lot of witchcraft. A lot of Mormonism is very strong there. The worship of crystals, different things that we face there. It is a big deal. You can go to the next picture. Okay, we're a little out of order, but that's fine. Amen. But this is awesome. Here a couple years ago, we have what's called Move the Mission offering. I believe today we talked about Mother's Memorial, which is a great offering, but we have Move the Missions offering, which hopefully you have heard of it. It is out of the youth department. Amen. It is supposed to be youth-led, meaning where the youth go out, raise funds, and push for it. We're thankful for Move the Missions. We have Brother Geisler in our district, if you've ever heard of him. He's a veteran missionary to countries all around this world. He does great things, amen, but he was talking about it. He has driven, I believe, he said, 18 Move the Mission vehicles, 18 of them, going into countries that have never existed before, all because of Move the Missions. This past year, Move the Mission bought an airplane. It has done a lot of work in Alaska and the Yukon district. If you didn't know, they're one of the smallest districts, and they are always top giving for Move the Mission. There is a grant with Inside Move the Mission for North American Missions for either purchasing a building or remodeling a building. So the building that Pastor talked about, we were given completely free by a Baptist church that was shutting down, completely free, given over to us. And we applied for that Move the Mission grant and received it this year. which is a tremendous blessing on top of the blessing that we already had. And so we have done some just awesome things. We had a church, the pipes were very old. The water in our city is not good, clean water. So we were able to put in a reverse osmosis system in the church. So now we have church events in our kitchen, in our fellowship hall. We do not have to bring in water in. We have clean water in our church, thanks to Move the Mission. Amen. We have updated sound equipment. Telling Brother Isaac, thank you for my panic calls at all hours of the night, asking what I'm buying wrong or what I'm doing wrong. I know nothing about sound. Amen. But we updated some of our equipment there. That flooring that you see in that picture was actually all free. We found vicarious ways, but we got it all free. And we had gotten our sanctuary kind of set up how we wanted it, and then decided that, hey, we had some more work that we wanted to do. Began to take out the ceiling. Brother Parker's not here, so I can say it was all his fault. And every time we walk into the sanctuary, I look at him and shake my head. I said, this is all you, brother. It's all you. Amen. But we walk in there. There's a lot of work. But what is interesting, when we received this grant, all of our Section 2 came out in force. Showed up on a day. I mean, there was probably 20 of us that showed up and began to rip out the ceiling, began to go up on the rafters. We had scaffolding right now in our sanctuary, several feet in the air, 20 feet up, I believe, and then still not touching to where our ceiling is, and work is being done there. New electrical wiring is being put in, updating some that is very scary. And the more we digged into it, of course, in older buildings, the more you find. And you can change the picture here. I believe there's a few more. That is the scaffolding. What you don't see in that picture is, those are the little ones. There's bigger ones now, but they had a beam going from one scaffolding to the other, and they were standing in the center of these new joists so we can drywall in there. And I'm on the one scaffolding, and they said, hey, Chris, can you grab that thing in the middle? I said, I cannot do that. And they said, what, are you scared of heights? I said, no, I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of walking on that. I said, we're in a one-income household. Praise the Lord. Amen. But that work has continued on. You can go to the next. There's the scaffolding picture. Amen. It looks like you're barely off the ground. You are not. I'm just going to put that out there. You can go to the next picture. Amen. Amen. Lots of work going on in the sanctuary. This is actually in our city. Amen. If you are in Idaho, you love the land. You have to love the land, and they're very protective of the land. I have the honor of serving on our Planning and Zoning Commission for the city, trying to make a connection there. They are very particular about what happens to the land. What you see behind them are hops fields, and we are one of the largest producers of hops in the United States, which also is, if you didn't know, that's where you get beer. They make a lot of beer. Amen. Well, driving into our city, I don't have a picture of it, but driving into our city, there was a big sign that said, great beer starts here. And we were driving through town, and my daughter was riding with me, and she looked at that sign. She goes, I hate that. I said, what do you hate? She goes, I hate that sign. I said, well, okay, what's wrong with the sign? She goes, I don't want my town, my city, known for beer. I said, okay. I said, well, then you need to pray about it. I said, you pray about that sign. God removes that sign. She said, okay. And it wasn't, I think, the next day, I came home from work, and my daughter met me at the door and said, Dad, you'll never believe it. I said, they changed that sign. I said, what? And we drove out there, and sure enough, overnight, they had changed the sign. Amen. Entering into Wilder. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. But we are in a valley. Like I said, we are in the Treasure Valley. We have changed our motto to our church. It's the whole gospel to the whole valley by the whole church. Amen. Because it does take all of us. I'm thankful today that we get to be here because there's another family that decided to come. Amen. We got an email to the church email saying, hey, our names are the Parkers. We're from South Carolina. We're selling everything we have, and we're moving out there to help you. I thought it was a joke. I literally thought someone was pulling my leg, but they left their pastor's information. I called them and said, yes, sir, this is something they've been working on for 2 years. We had just started the church. Amen. I thought, you've got to be kidding me. But when God sends you, he provides. He makes a way. Amen. It is not easy. It is not easy. We had a tremendous revival this year in March. We saw people be baptized. We've seen faces we've never seen. We were running close to 28 to 30 every Sunday consecutively. It was awesome. It was powerful. And then we had three families move out at the same time. Amen. And you think, and it affects the children. And I say it affects the adults too. Amen. You put a time and labor in, but if you know home missions, that is part of the process. Every book, every seminar will tell you you'll go through 3, 4, 5 different congregations before it gets stuck and sticks and is cohesive and moves where you can change the picture. So I didn't know my face was on that. Amen. But we are rebuilding. That's going into our sanctuary there. We do have a different entrance way. It just doesn't flow with well with how we're setting things up. Our superintendent is there, the gentleman in the hat. So we are cutting a new entrance way into our sanctuary. And you can change the next picture. Amen. And we are able to paint this building that, as far as I know, has not been painted in the last 70 years. I was talking to our neighbor, and he couldn't believe we were painting that. If you don't know who the gentleman is on the lift there, that's Brother Davenport. Amen. He's originally from Indiana here. He flew out from West Virginia to help us paint the church. Amen. That's our fellowship hall there. Next picture. Amen. And continue to paint there. Next picture. Praise the Lord. A lot of work. Jaron, I was up on the boom there with him as well, painting a lot of it. Got a lot of experience. And that is the final picture, which is really amazing to us going into this, is the city takes notice of everything. So we're a town of 1,800 people. So we have painted a building that is historic. It was actually there before it was a town. So we have painted it, and I've had the mayor say something to us. I've said city council say something to us. I've had people on the council I sit on say stuff about it. I've had the librarian say something. I've had the different families on the street say something. I've had people stop us while we're outside and just appreciate that the building is there and it's painted and they know we're there, people at the bank. So we're excited to be such a presence, but all of that is because somebody gave to move the mission. Amen. That is the whole reason why we were able to do any of that, is because the Move the Mission grant, and we're so thankful for it. If you can find me later today and you say, if you got any potatoes, I do have a very, very special pin for you. It says Idaho on it. It is a potato. If you didn't know, we are known for our potatoes. Praise the Lord. Amen. But this is just a thank you for giving to Move the Mission. You know, your prayers go a long way. If you wear this pin or hold it in your office or do whatever you want with it, just remember to pray for the work going on in Wilder, the work going on in Idaho. We covet your prayers. We covet your prayers. Amen. There was a time when my wife and I were going through a battle. We were going through a spiritual battle, and it was hard. It was heavy. And my wife, we're both almost in tears. And my wife said, you know, I wish I knew someone was praying for me right now. And that moment, I actually had a Marco Polo, and I clicked on my phone, and a gentleman I was talking to just stopped everything he was doing. He said, I just feel like the need to pray for you guys right now. And so it's amazing how God works. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in God's moving in his hand. Amen. So your prayers do matter. It makes a difference. We are in a stronghold of false doctrine. Amen. I won't go in too deep in this, but we have identified the spirit of our area, and it is false doctrine. And it is angry. Amen. We are a light of truth in an area that is, you think you go into an area and said, okay, these people aren't church. They know church. They understand that, but there is an absence of the truth. Amen. And we have started stirring up things, and I've told Brother Johnson, I said, people, we've been saying it from day one. We haven't hid it. We haven't hid what we teach and preach. We have very vocally said it. We've gotten even more vocally here recently. Amen. And we've never kept it a secret of believing in the oneness of God and baptism in Jesus' name. But all of a sudden, people understand what we are saying, and the churches have come out of the woodwork and said, ooh, you're one of those churches. Amen. So we have been identified as that kind of church. Amen. And I'm thankful to be apostolic today. Amen. I'm thankful to be apostolic. Amen. I don't say that lightly, and I don't mean just the religion. I'm thankful for the apostles, the teaching of the apostles, and we believe that we are a restoration movement, that we want to be as close to what the apostles preach, what Jesus handed to them. Amen. He left the apostles in charge of the church. That's why we are called apostolic. We are like the apostles. Amen. And that's what we are moving and producing throughout there. Amen. You bring up the word Pentecostal. There's very few people that know what that means. Amen. We do have a lot of organizations that hold that out there that do not have the truth. And I'm saying that very openly because I believe there is a truth. And I think it's very clear in the scriptures. Amen. And it's a time and age that we live in that we can't just sugarcoat everything. Like, I'm just going to easily give this to you. We are in the time that we are living in. People need the truth. Amen. They need to hear the truth. And if it's not coming from us, amen. Brother Bernard put it one time. He said, we would rather have us tell you what we believe than you hear it from someone else wrong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So that is our work there. That is our calling. Amen. We are so happy to be home amongst family. Amen. And my in-laws and seeing my parents and my brothers and all my nephews and my niece, my favorite niece. Amen. We love being with them and being that time. Like I said, I honor Brother Johnson so much. There are times I have given him panic calls. Amen. There are times that we've been in situations and what goes across my head is, what would Brother Johnson do? And then I'll look at my wife, I think we just need to calm down. Amen. But I'm very thankful for that wisdom. I don't talk to him nearly as much as I should. Amen. But there's wisdom there. Amen. And I'm thankful for Brother Isaac and his wisdom. Like I said, there are times I've called him, like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm thankful for a cloud of witnesses, people that have gone on before, and the people that are grounded and rooted in this. Somebody say amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. Before I start in my message here today, I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. Amen. So if you can find me and ask, do you have any potatoes? I got a pin for you just as a thank you for Move the Mission. Amen. Also, there is Christmas for Christ. Anyone familiar with that? If I can for a moment, that is life-changing. That is life-changing for a North American missionary. It is life-changing. I've been on the phone calls with people that are nervous to death to see if they're going to get approved for it. I can remember we were in a tough spot. We actually gave up income to start the church, and I just kept telling my wife, his will, his bill, amen. And I remember, I'll be honest, I was crying when we received the email saying, hey, congratulations, you've been approved, amen. With the door, we are there, we are physically able to be in Wilder because the United Pentecostal Church, its fundraising programs, amen, Move the Mission, Christmas for Christ, it matters. Amen. It really matters. It has made a difference in our city. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm going to read, like I said, Matthew chapter 24, verses 3 through 14. Mine will sound just slightly different than yours. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. It said, while he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples approached him privately and said, tell us, when will these things happen? And what is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus replied to them, watch out that no one deceives you. Everybody say deceives. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah. And they will deceive many. Everybody say deceive. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. Can anyone say they've been there? Wars and rumors of wars. But it's interesting. He said, this is going to be the sign of my coming. He said, but don't be afraid. But he did point out some other things to see that you are not alarmed, because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. He said, don't be afraid. This has to happen. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We could teach Bible studies in depth of what's going around the world and earthquakes in diverse places and all these things that are going on. It says, all these events are the beginning of labor pains. Amen. We see this is the beginning. We feel the pain. We feel it coming on. Just like someone giving birth. We know the baby is soon to come. Amen. They will hand you over to be persecuted, and they will kill you. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Because of my name. The name matters. The name matters. Then many will fall away, betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Everybody say deceive. Because lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. The good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Then the end will come in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, God, for your word, Lord. I pray, Lord, anoint this word, God, as I bring it. Help me, Lord, to preach it the way that you've put it in me, I pray, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. He said, with all these things that are coming about, and there are things that we watch the news, and if you caught the debate at all, the main thing that I took away is both of them said, you don't know how close we are to World War III and all these things, and people see what's going around the world. They see the signs of the times. They see what's going on with earthquakes and tsunamis and volcanoes, and you can go into all that stuff. But the main thing that Jesus was worried about, he says, all this is going to happen. It's going to happen. He said, you just trust in me. You just hold on to my name. He said, but the main thing that I'm worried about, the main thing that I'm concerned about is that you don't be deceived. It's important that you get this. It's important that you understand these truths. It's important that it doesn't change. And it's important that someone doesn't come along when I'm gone and they change this word. It's important that you don't be deceived. Paul put it this way. He said, carried away by every wind and doctrine that would come by and blow through. Amen. When we first arrived in Idaho, it was, I believe, the second day we were there. We were inside a Fred Meyer, which is pretty much equivalent to Meyer. Amen. And we were in there, and all of a sudden, the opening doors just began to open and close, and the lights on the walls began to shake, and the product on the shelf began to shake and begin to move. And I was talking to a lady that worked there, and I said, my goodness, is this a tornado? And she looked at me, she's like, where are you from? We don't have tornadoes here. It's not a thing here. I'm like, okay. You know, but she says, that's an earthquake. Craziest thing I've ever been a part of. And we're watching as the building's moving, you know. I'm like, this is crazy. And I'm just standing there just in awe. And a couple minutes later, as we're continuing to talk to this lady, another lady came over and she said, I'm so sorry to bother you. Did you notice anything funny happen last couple minutes ago? And we kind of laughed and said, yeah, it's an earthquake. She goes, oh, good. I thought I was having a stroke. I called my daughter and said, you need to come get me. Amen. But he goes, something was shaking the ground. It was moving. Amen. And I looked into that, and if you Google it, it does say that Idaho has tornadoes. If you talk to anybody that lives there, it's not a thing. Never happens. But they do have something called a microburst. Someone heard of it? Never heard of it before in my life. A microburst. And they were explaining it to me. I'm like, yeah, that doesn't happen. But I was at work the other day, and I looked out the window, and it's just torrential downpour, and it's just not the season for that. I'm like, wow, that really came out of nowhere and just came down. But there's something happened when you're next to the river and you're down in a valley. Something happens with the wind pressure and the water and something. And it's just like you funneled a strong current of wind in one direction and very defined, and just shoots out and causes great destruction. And next thing you know, we're looking on the news, and the town next to us had been hit by a microburst. There were buildings completely destroyed. Amen. There were trees. What we do have of trees were completely uprooted and ripped out. The town that I drive through right before my town, there's a little area. They developed some kind of chemical there, but they have a beautiful yard fenced in, a beautiful like nature preserve almost. And I drove by, and the trees were either completely ripped up by the roots, or they were completely cut in half by the wind and just laying all over the place. I'm like, this is crazy. But that is a microburst. And when Jesus talked about it, he said, don't be deceived. And Paul said, by every word of wind and doctrine that comes by. He said, there's going to be things that will come, and they're going to shake you, and they're going to tear you apart, and they're going to come against you and say, you know what, you don't need to do that. You know, that's a little too much. That's not really what the scripture says. And, you know, you don't have to follow that exactly. And you know, that's a truth maybe to some, but, you know, the majority of us don't do that. And you can't say that all these people are going to wind up lost. And that's the problem when we get into. And I remember from my youth and growing up and today, there's a lot of people that we ran the aisles together. I have stories of people I've collided in the altar with that we ran and we jumped and we went to youth functions and we went to youth outings and we went to prayer meetings and we went to all the things, amen, and they're not here. They have walked away just because of it didn't feel good to their flesh. So today I want to preach on, it's time to be radical. It's time to be radical. It's time to get this so deep within us that it's a part of our everyday life. And we see all these things that come in Matthew. We see all these things. It should be a sign to this, to the church, that this is the greatest hour of the church. This is the greatest moment of church. Amen. We get into Idaho. Once you pass Boise and you start going on, we get less and less people. And you get a lot of preppers. You get a lot of people that are probably on a TV show somewhere. Amen. You get a lot of those things set up, and they have ammunition, stocked piles. I mean, pallets full of. I had a lady we were talking to just bought 6 pallets of .22 ammo. And she's like, that's to go with my other 6 pallets of 9mm ammo. And they talk about storing up. There are more guns in Idaho than there are people. And potatoes, amen. But they have all these things. They have stockpiles and food supplies, and it's big business out there. Costco sells a lot of our emergency supplies and our prepper supplies because they're preparing for something to happen. And when we can't get in the mindset, and yes, you should be prepared for different things, and with great detail in that, but it's the point where we're not to be afraid. He said, this is our day, this is our hour, this is the time the church needs to shine more than anything. We've got to get a hold of this. If we truly believe that God can do anything, if you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, it's time to get rooted and grounded in that and strong in that and say, you know what, we should see the gifts following. We should see the gifts following. That is something that there have been prophecies over our church. There have been people that have called us about prophecies over our church. We have not seen them yet. Amen. But we hold on to, if we've got to dive into this better and stronger than we ever have before. A lot of times we get scared of the word radical. And it thinks of extremist Muslims and different things like that, or those crazy people. It's time to church be just a little bit crazy, because the meaning of that word radical is actually, it means relating or proceeding from a root. So when I think of this, how radical are you? How deep do your roots run? Scripture in Proverbs 23:23 says, buy and do not sell the truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. When we began to start the church, the Baptist church was pressing hard. It said, just be independent. Just be independent. We'll help you. We'll give you funds. We'll give you money. And we'll set you up. We'll give you a salary. I said, I can't do that. I said, there is a way. There is a way that goes all the way back to the apostles. There is a truth that no matter what you throw at us, I'm thankful for the building, but if it comes down to doctrine, you can keep the building and we'll put up a tent somewhere. Amen. Because this truth, we're not selling it. We're not giving it up. But how deep do your roots go? Which, interesting, and I felt this in my spirit, and I felt this for a long time, and you begin to hear it now. I've heard Josh Carson preach a message on it. I've heard different individuals through our movement talk about the great revival that's coming is going to be over the oneness of God. Because it's telling us who he is, and it's directly linked to baptism. Because when you understand what he meant by you're going to be hated for my name's sake, it makes a difference what name you have. I had a gentleman actually write me right before we came out here. He says, I'm a little unclear of your faith statement on your website. Can you tell me, are you Trinitarian or are you oneness? And I said, well, I wrote him back very nicely. And I said, well, thank you for letting me know. I will fix the website. Amen. Because we're without question oneness believers in baptism in Jesus' name. Amen. Because when you take on that name, you become his. He's coming after those that bear his name, that didn't give up his name. Revelation is full of it. He says, we bear his name all the way to death. We made sure that our roots came so deep that every wind, every strong breeze that blew by, that it didn't move us, it didn't shake us. We stayed in this. But it has to be in you. And I like to say that I'm radically apostolic because my roots go deep. My roots go deep. Amen. I'm thankful. I believe my mom and dad are watching online. I'm thankful for days that when my dad came to our room and said, get up, you're going to church. I'm thankful for days when he made me go to church when I didn't want to, because of that, my roots run deep. Amen. Why do we dress holy? It's not because of legalism. It's not about our attitude, but it's about maturity and submission, that I'm submitted to the Word of God. So if it's outside of that, no, I want to say submitted to Him so that I don't get blown over and I don't get trampled on. Amen. I've done it before when we were outside of the body, that we were trying to do things our own way. And you know what? I said, you know what? I don't need an organization. We're just going to do it on our own. We're going to do it our own way. We're going to make our own path, and we'll push forward. You know, we don't have to adhere to so many different things. And what I found out, it drew those that you didn't want to be associated with. And I said, honey, there's a problem here. I said, we gotta get back to this. We've gotta get back connected to the church. We've gotta get rooted and grounded. We've gotta have a covering, because that's what's gonna keep us in the end. So when that everything's fighting against us, everything's pouring against us. Amen. And then that's when we began to come back to this church. And I remember talking to Brother Johnson. I said, look, is it okay if I start working on my license again with the UPC? And he said, I think that's a great idea, because it's important to be connected. Amen. Amen. But a lot of it, and we've talked about this, and this is probably my wife and I's favorite topic to go on. It's important. It means so much to us. It means so much to us. But in our area, there's a big push in the world, really, that, oh, it all began with Catholicism. It all began with that. That was the original church. And you see people that are mainstream media that are turning to the Catholic Church, that are returning to the Catholic Church, and said, look, this is where it began. This is where I need to go to. Amen. But when we begin to study history, and the more we dig into it, and the more deeper we go into it, that's not where our roots go from. Amen. I haven't seen Eric Nord here, but I think he's here somewhere. Amen. He was preaching. He's up on top. Amen. He was preaching last Sunday, I believe. I caught just a tail bit of it. He was talking about Polycarp. The historical documents you can pull up today, and you can bring up Polycarp. It said that he was there with John. He was a disciple of John. And he said, I'm keeping these things. This is important that we keep it like the apostles. We need to follow it. We can't change what they had instilled in us. But he followed. He goes, my roots go back to John. My roots go back to him. And what's interesting about Polycarp, he quotes from the book of John. And he said, you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And what it amazes me, I don't know why this has always been a fleeting word to me, and always, you see it in a textbook, and you just read over it real quick, or in a theology book, you just read over it real quick, but Irenaeus followed after Polycarp. And what was so interesting about him, which so amazing to me, is that when he began to, you read his discourse, and he said, look, I'm not trying to change doctrine, I'm not changing doctrine, and he quotes scripture after scripture and scripture after scripture, and he said, it's important that you're not deceived. And the message of Irenaeus is that there is only one God, that Jesus wasn't a separate God, but God that was in him, working in him. And Irenaeus quoted and saying, he goes, we got to keep to what the apostle said. He said, there is a line between me and going back to the apostles. We cannot stray from that line. We cannot walk from that line. If something is outside of that line, we can't hold to that. And so when the reformers came, and we begin to get Lutheranism, and we begin to get Calvin, John Calvin, all those things, those are people that were so far removed from the original line. He says, we can go back, and Irenaeus has talked about Clement, and I don't know a whole lot about him, but what he was referencing in his letters there, what was so amazing to me is Clement, when he preached, It was as he could even hear the very words of the apostles still in his head, that he could hear it in his words. He could still hear their voices speaking to him while he preached. Amen. And Irenaeus, this big warning, says, don't pull away from this. Don't walk away from this. He says, we have to stay aligned. We have to stay connected to the apostles. We can't walk away to another doctrine. We have to be radical. We have to be rooted in this. We have to not be shaken. And Polycarp, Brother Nord had mentioned it this last Sunday. He said, when they came to take him, he said, look, you're either going to bow down to the emperor, you're going to worship the emperor, or we're going to kill you. And Polycarp says, no, I understand. And he's quoted in saying, he said, 86 years I have served him. 86 years I have served him, and he has done nothing wrong. How could I blaspheme the king that has brought me so far? And they asked him, and the rest of the story goes, he said, okay, just give me a favor. Before you take me away, give me 1 hour to pray. 1 hour to pray. And the story goes that he began to pray as the soldiers waited to take him away. And he began to pray, which went from 1 hour to 2 hours. And he prayed for those soldiers. And the soldiers began to take him away as he continued to pray. And finally, one of the soldiers just looked at him and said, would you just curse Christ? So you live. And Polycarp says, I cannot do that. Amen. But is it in you? Is it in you? And I say all this, but I've been there. I've been with my best friends, my best friend in the world. Got caught up in some stuff that says, you know what? I think you just need to believe. And that was such a foreign doctrine to the apostles. It was such a foreign belief to them. It was so far removed from what they taught in history to one that was brought up in history. It's so far removed from that. Take me back. The scripture also says, it says, ask for the old paths. He said, those are the safe paths. Those are the paths that we know lead to righteousness, that we know that lead to Jesus. But the rest of that scripture says, but they said, we will not. Oh, I truly believe that we're walking in one of the greatest times of the church. I said that. I believe that we're going to have a great revival. Amen. A great revival of souls in these last years and these last moments leading to the return of Jesus Christ. But I also feel that we're going to have a great falling away because Jesus said it. And it's those when all these things, it'd be so much easier just to be like everybody else. It'd be so much easier to be like mainstream Christianity. But when it comes down, he said, many will come in my name. Many will come in my name, and they'll even cast out devils in my name. They really will do it. The scripture says they will do it. They will cast out devils. But the scripture says, at that time, he's going to say, I look at him and said, I don't know you. And then that's troubling to me. My wife and I talked to somebody, and they were talking about being used in the gifts of the Spirit and how awesome she said that was. And we asked her, so, well, do you have the Holy Ghost? Well, no. How do you operate in the gifts of the Spirit without the Holy Ghost? You have to have it. It's got to be deep within you. It's got to be deep within you. It's got to stay with you no matter what comes. I know this, but you got to know it by getting a hold of him. You got to get connected to him. You've got to get the time in prayer and said, I've got to know this for myself. I remember studying when I was 14. I said, I have to understand this for myself. I have to know this for myself. I've got to know the scripture. So when things come at us and things pour at us, we'll know. We had an awesome family. There was 7 or 8 of them that came into the church. And I thought, all right, here we go. And we began to pour into them and pour into them. And they loved the church. They loved the service. They couldn't get enough of it. We took them out to eat. And I said, you know, do you have questions? You know, can we meet up with a Bible study? Can we get a Bible study hooked up? And he said, yeah, we heard you say some stuff from the pulpit that we've never heard before. I said, really? I'm going back in my head. What was my sermon about? What did I preach? Amen. You started talking about Jesus and God in a way that I've never heard before. I said, okay, let's explain that. And we went in deeper. And then he said, and you said another thing. Are you telling me that you have to be baptized in Jesus' name to make it to heaven? I said, sir, I'm teaching straight from the scriptures, and we can sit down and I can go through every single one of them. I said, okay. And they came maybe one or two more times and didn't show up. And I called them and I said, hey, you know, we're getting ready to have food and fellowship. Are you okay? You know, you do want to bring something. If you're not, don't, no worries. And, you know, it'll be a good time. He said, I'm sorry, I can't come to your church anymore. I said, okay, let's talk about it. Let's have that conversation. He's like, how you talk about Jesus, and that is connected to baptism. I said, yes, sir, it is. And I said, can you just come to my house and have a Bible study with me? He said, okay. So his wife and him came over real late, and we sat in my living room for 4.5 hours. 4.5 hours, just showing the scripture, just pouring our hearts out, just showing them scripture after scripture and reasoning with them and talking about the things of the Lord. And I truly believe the gentleman there could have got up and walked to our church that night and jumped in the baptismal tank. He just kept saying, wow, wow, wow. And then finally we got down to, well, what's the name? And it was dead silence in the room. And I waited. And he looked at me almost with tears in his eyes and said, it's Jesus. I said, you're right. And he, tears coming down. He said, it's Jesus. He goes, I see it. I get it. And I looked at his wife, and his wife. Amen. Because it comes to a point where you have to change. It calls you to action. But how radical do you want to be? How radical do you want to be connected to the truth? There is a way that seems right unto a man, but its direction, its path, it leads to damnation. It says, narrow is the way. So when we get there, as painful it is, and it's painful to say to people and to bring up, I said, there's going to be a time when we're separated. That we look like each other. We use the same verbs as each other. We use the same words. We read some of the same books. We do things that are similar. We have similar functions. I said, but at the end of the day, there is going to be a dividing line. And the church that, like I said, that closed down, and the big thing that they were saying, well, oh, we're all children of God. We're all children of God. That's not what the scripture says. And that's hard for people to take. Amen. But when you're not born as a child of God, you're reborn as a child of God, and you take upon that name, there is a difference between us. But it's got to take the whole world. It's got to take the whole church to reach the whole world. It's got to take the whole church. And I know this church, and I look out and I see a lot of the leaders are still the leaders. And I saw people have so many different jobs and so many different things that they do in the church. And I honor you, and I honor you for that and the dedication that you've given to that. And it's so important. It makes the church run and function all that well. And we have people in our church, and like I said, we've dwindled down right now, but we have all bought into the vision. We've all bought into the vision. We sit in a sanctuary that sits over 200 people given to us. Right now, the ceiling's torn out. There's plastic on the carpet. There's wood sitting in there to build the rest of the platform. There's nails everywhere. We have to go through a magnet all the time. People ripping stuff out. There's new doors laying around the hallway. Things are ripped out. But we're all into the vision. He said, it's not just going to be when we finish this that revival is going to take. It's not just when we get the music tweaked just perfectly and we have so many issues with our soundboard and our speakers and how we do everything. And every morning we get in there and, you know, do all the things that I don't know how to do, and it drives me nuts. But it's not going to all just come together when we get the soundboard perfect or when our music team does things right. And there's some young people that I'm trying to invest in and said, hey, we need to do things differently. Amen. But it takes us going out and making relationships and connecting with people. I said, this is in me so deep that it's going to pour out and shoot out. Amen. We were having a revival. We were doing a bilingual revival, and I was so excited for it. I've been wanting to reach my neighbor ever since we moved in next to him. And my wife said, are you going to go talk to Mr. Luna and invite him? I said, yeah, when I see him outside. He said, no, when are you going to go over and invite? I said, when I see Mr. Luna outside, I will go up and send him. He said, well, you might not have a chance. You're going to miss our first service. Just go ask him. She can be pushy. You know? Amen. And so next thing you know, I'm over at the door, and my wife says I need to knock harder when we go door knocking. Yeah. But he came out there and said, yes, And I said, hey, just, you know, to let you know, we're having this bilingual service, revival services at the church, if you'd like to come. And he said, he looked at me, said, okay, we'll be there. And I said, well, don't feel like you have to come. You know, it's just, we're having this, it's bilingual, and, you know, it'd be cool if you came. Okay, we'll be there. I said, now, don't feel like you're obligated to come just because you're my neighbor. You know, feel like you have to. And he said, what time is it? I'm like, well, we're doing it, you know, Saturday is at this time. Sunday's at 11. Okay, I'll be there Sunday at 11. I'll say, but don't feel like you have to be there, you know, and or anything like that. And I said, Chris, just stop talking. Amen. But Mr. Luna came. Amen. And I thought, whew, it was a Holy Ghost throwdown kind of service. We had, it was the day we had the gifts of tongues interpretation. We had the Reverend Luna was out there laying hands on people, and people were getting the Holy Ghost and all kinds of things. And I thought, oh, man. And I looked back, and Mr. Luna's back there in the presence of the Lord. Amen. We've got to be the real thing. It's got to be deep within us. Deep within us. It's got to exude out of us. They said, don't be deceived. And Irenaeus looked at it and said, there's a line. I can count them. I can name them that go back to the apostles. And he said, we have to keep that line. We got to make sure the roots don't get severed, that nothing goes beyond outside of that doctrine and outside of that line. Amen. It matters the way that you walk and the way that you talk. It matters how you operate in your city. It matters. Amen. Because when we all get to heaven and we stand before the Lord, it's not going to be like, I got the Idaho pin. I got the T-shirt. God's going to look down and say, did you give everything? Were you radical? Were you radical? Amen. There was another gentleman named Andrew, and I don't know his last name. His name was Andrew. About the same time as Irenaeus was a general, he had accepted Jesus. And he was so passionate. He was so on fire for God. And I'm coming to close. He was so on fire for God that he was going against the battle. Those were invading Israel. And finally, he looked at his troops and said, nope, there's too many of us. Let's go down to 1,000 people to go out to this army. And it reminded he wanted to be like Gideon. He goes, I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. I'm going to trust in the power of the Lord. Amen. And he went out into battle, and his soldiers were scared going out into battle. They're scared going out to fight. And he looked at them and said, I want to tell you the reason why that I chose to take less. He said, I believe in Jesus, and I believe in the power of his name, and I believe that you should know that Jesus. And so I'm willing to lay down everything and go into this battle to prove to you that he is the one and only God. And he said to them, Andrew said to them, he says, all these other gods that you serve are demonic idols. Amen. We have to be passionate. We have to be radical. They end up winning that battle that day. And those 1,000 and Andrew went and were baptized in the name of Jesus. This is your history. This is your roots. This didn't start later on in history. This is the beginning. And if you look at every historian and everyone that goes back to it, they can say, this isn't how we always used to do it. We did do things differently. Why? So we hold to the apostles' doctrine. We hold to the church that Jesus left. I don't want to say, didn't they cast out devils in my name? Said, no, this is the church. This is my bride. When it talks about in Scripture, if we could all stand this morning. When it talks about in Scripture, it talks about the 10 virgins. 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. 5 of them were faking what they were supposed to do. If I just hang out along with them enough, if I just run the streets with them like they do, if I just do the things that they do for right now, it won't matter. By the time that the bridegroom comes, I'll get things in order. I'll get things right. I'll get things set up, and I'll start doing them the way that I'm supposed to. But the Scripture says that when the call was given out, there was a sound, there was a trumpet that gave out, there was a noise that gave out that the king was coming, that the bridegroom was coming. It was so interesting. If you look at Jewish history, they would put the bride on almost like on a throne. And then they would carry her. Amen. When the Lord comes, he's coming for his church. not someone that separated themselves off and said, hey, I'm going to do this on my own. No, he said, you need to be a part of the church. I'm coming back for the church. I'm coming back for the bride. And the bride is somebody that says, I have completely sold out. I have completely sold out. I'm never going back to how it was that I am dedicating myself to. What is holiness? Holiness is a separation from and a dedication to. Amen. I want to be in these last days and these last hours when there's a great revival coming. I want to be a part of the church triumphant that is rooted and grounded in this truth. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Won't you come this morning? Amen. As your pastor comes, amen. How deep is it? How radical are you? In Jesus' name.